Jen Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly, and you're listening to XOXO
JK,
a podcast about life, the good stuff, the real stuff, the funny stuff. In this episode, we've got a special guest.
Woo woo!
Yeah! Our dear friend and nutritionist, Lucia Holly.
Hello.
Hey, girl.
Whose company, Essential Omnivore, is the force behind the Essential You program, which Jen and I have both completed and have discussed on the show.
Yeah.
Welcome, Lucia.
Thank you.
We're so glad you're here.
Oh, my gosh. Lucia has changed my life.
I don't think I've ever said your last name out loud before.
I don't think you have.
Did I say it right?
Holly.
Oh. Holly.
Holly, yeah.
So no, maybe not less emphasis on the ow.
Howley.
Holly.
Like hee-haw.
Like Joe.
But not like hee-haw.
Mansion.
A little yeah. Hee-haw.
I love you, Joe Manganiello.
I still haven't watched that. I need to do that.
That's from the latest Pee-wee movie that came out on Netflix.
Oh, I haven't seen that either.
Joe Manganiello is on it, but like he can't as himself and Pee-wee. I'm going to talk about this every episode. I don't care.
Yeah.
And Pee-wee can't say his name. So he's like, I'm Joe Manganiello. He goes, Joe Manganiello. He's like, no, Joe Manganiello.
It was like Rena Sardinopoulos.
Joe Manganiello.
When you were on the Carol Levin show.
Rena Sardinopoulos.
Rena. Oh, what did I say? Regina? Well,
no, last time you were like Rena
Sardinopoulos.
Yes.
So welcome again. We're so glad you're here. And I was saying earlier, I didn't have any like worries about, like sometimes I have a little bit of anxiety about what we're going to talk about on a show or whatever. Like
we're not super prepared all the time.
Oh my God. Yeah. We're so prepared.
Like today when I didn't bring a computer.
But with you, I knew that we wouldn't have trouble at all because whenever I even see you in between a yoga class or anything around Zolkana, we are like, oh, and this, oh my gosh, and this, and oh my gosh, this.
And Lucia, my poops.
I mean, truly, like it could go anywhere between, you know, talking about hydration to what I had for breakfast is always a common topic to poops to,
yeah,
I don't know, everything else.
Well, here's the thing, Lucia, I want to ask you, is it like, okay, because as a comedian, you know, people are always like, ooh, tell me a joke.
Oh,
and yes. Then like when people see you, they're like, Lucia, I ate this and this happened and my poop, like I do to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a common occurrence?
It is a common occurrence, but I love it. I don't want it to stop.
Good.
You're so into it, which I love because you're like, I remember I was in Las Vegas a few months ago and I was having some digestive problems. And I was like, what?
As one is wont to do.
And so,
in
of
Vegas.
Course, the first thing I think to do is to text my friend Lucia about my poops. And I was like, can I ask you a question about poops? And you wrote back in like all caps.
Yeah.
With like,
oh, yeah.
Explosion emojis. You're like, yes, talk to me.
I've been waiting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is like the most amazing.
You are
amazing.
A really great communicator.
Yes.
I mean, on top of being a seriously thorough and like incredibly knowledgeable nutritionist. You're just so, I can hear your voice too. I think that helps
calming.
With all your replies.
Yeah. Mm.
It's just like, oh yeah. Uh-huh. And then there's always emoji.
Yeah.
And then it's always like exactly what you need to hear. So, and you do get serious. It's not always serious. Cause sometimes you're like, listen, this is what I would, or this is the approach I would take because I think it's so personal. Sometimes the questions.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's almost like personal to the point of people being so vulnerable that they might come off as rude.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like that's not working or something like a little bit aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And you always like soften your approach.
You're really good.
And it's like a pilot like going in during a storm. Like you're just like, okay, I know how to do this. So kudos to you for that because I noticed that about you every single day. I'm like, man, she nailed that.
Ooh.
And that's like if people come to me for anything, like they come to you for jokes and you nutrition, like me, it's like, how do you say this? That's the most often, the question I get the most is like, how would you approach this?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, that's what I do, you know? So kudos to you for that.
Well, thank you.
So how did you know, or how did you know you wanted to be a nutritionist or what was that spark?
Mm.
Interest
in food and how food affects the body.
Right. I mean, my interest first started before even realizing how food affects my body or anyone's body. It was just from a love of food. Just loving. Yeah, right? Just right. Loving all the meals. I grew up, my mom loved to cook. We had, you know, really great dinners at home. And I was always a little kid on the stool or not on the stool. Mm, yeah. Just hanging out in the kitchen being like, what can I do? I want to be here. I want to get that extra snack. I'll grate the cheese and then get some extra cheese. So yeah, there's always been a big love of food. Oh, yeah. But kind of what shifted for me is when I started to realize, like, why do I love this food, but some of it feels like it doesn't love me back? Mm-hmm. That was a big turning point.
I'm hugging this food, but it's giving me diarrhea.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like an equal exchange.
No. Why is this not 50-50?
Why does it hate me? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Love that. And was it, you were young?
I was. Yeah. I'd say probably around, 13 or 14 when I first was like, why does this, you know, really hurt my stomach, or why are my reactions to dinner different than my siblings or my parents?
Well, I think that's when we have to start. We all have more independent thought around that time too. So that's interesting that it's sort of aligned with that, because I think before that, right, like our moms or our dads or our guardians are making us all our meals, and we kind of eat what's on our plate. I mean, I think we're doing that less now, but when we were growing up,
everything was convenient.
Right? Like, we didn't know as much about nutrition. We didn't know about gluten sensitivity or, you know, AIP or anything. I mean, like, I think all these ideas were still being developed. Mm-hmm. And so we just ate what we served.
Well, I have a question. When you said, like, your mom was a great cook, did she use, like, really high quality foods to cook with? Because the reason why I ask is my mom cooked a lot also, but I think she's really shitty food to do it. And it, you know, and not, that's not a knock on her at all. It's just like, it was the 80s and the early 90s. Like, that's what everything was about, convenience. It was about, like, you know, packaged foods and processed foods and frozen foods and not like fresh or, you know, like farm to table kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was like,
I mean, didn't even have the expression farm to table yet.
No. It was like white bread, cranberries from a can, like chicken that's probably been injected with God knows what. You know, I mean, we didn't know. Right. And so, like, the reason why I asked that is because I think, like, people who come from homes where, like, that is a important thing, and that's why I think it's so cool, like, what kids learn today, because that's going to be hardwired into them when they get older. Mm-hmm. And, like, probably within the last, I don't know, 5 years is when I've really started to pay attention to food and, like, where it comes from.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And all of that. And prior to that, I don't think I really gave a shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, I same. Like, I mean, mine was, I became a home cook on my own for my own family at a pretty young age. So I think that's when I more, like, started. Mine is a little bit further along, but it's like I did really, like, look at these tiny humans. And
with kids, when, like, you put it into,
and it's like it's not up to anyone else. I think was the biggest kind of aha moment for me, was that I was making all these choices for them, and there's a huge responsibility to that, and it's like there's a huge weight. Like, I don't mean responsibility in the good way; I mean it in, like, the in the way that I can, you know, really start from a super young age. Oh, Louie. Jen's dog Louie's here with us today, and he let out a big sigh, like, the girls are talking now.
I'm trying to sleep.
So I think that at that point, it was like, well, I remember reading something that said, try and give them, like, what they eat the most, try and buy that sustainably sourced and organic, right? Mm. So if you are a family that eats a lot of dairy, then don't worry so much about everything else. Just worry about the thing you consume the most and try and make, like, buy the best quality that
you can.
Because otherwise it can feel really overwhelming. And it also, for, we were a one income family because I stayed at home with the boys. And so it can feel really overwhelming and expensive. And this was 10 years ago. So, and now we, you know, we have more, the prices have come down from where they were 10 years ago sure, for, like, organic dairy. And that's good. Or maybe we do want it to stay really expensive, because then people buy less, consume less, and understand that our food comes from somewhere. And it shouldn't be cheap and easy like McDonald's or whatever. So
what about you? Well, yeah. What at home, what was your...
Yeah, well, I'd say it's split down the middle, 50-50, because my mom is a, and she still is, she loves to cook, and she does, she did choose those higher quality foods and kind of less processed options. Yeah. But I also had my dad growing up, and he's where I get my big old sweet tooth from. Yeah. So we definitely had a balance of kind of the more fun foods or the more 90s foods, and you know, those were definitely processed.
Like shake and bake is something I always think about, like makes me want to throw up. Yeah. I remember my mom cooking pork. I've talked about this a million times because it scarred my childhood. Taking a pork chop and like putting it in a baggie, shaking it into like all this weird stuff, and then
MSG, probably MSG,
and then like overcooking the shit out of it,
right?
It makes it made me hate pork chops. Pork chops are amazing, but like that is what I always think about. So it's just funny how like childhood stuff,
it has that huge impact.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. And it carries over for, I mean, could be someone's whole life too.
Yeah.
You never know.
Right.
That's why I can't drink milk, you guys. Yeah, I've talked about this a million times.
She would set it out like an hour before dinner.
Right. Like in the summer, I think about like on a day like today, pouring a glass of milk in the little Tupperware cup, like sitting it out on the table like an hour before dinner with the iceberg lettuce salad.
Oh my God, she transferred the milk from the thing to the Tupperware container?
No, we just had those little Tupperware cups, like red, green, blue, you know, yellow.
Yep. Yeah, but remember the Tupperware like milk thing? Yes. Like, Tupperware with like
something. No, she didn't like,
plastic everything. Yes. And the pickle. Remember the
warm
pickle
jar? Yes. Oh yeah,
the pickle thing.
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
Tupperware, so bad.
Yeah. So did you go right? So did you go right into college to be a nutritionist? Did you take a different path?
Oh yeah, no, my path was very different.
Tell us all about it.
So I went. I got my undergrad degree in psychology. I went to the University of Minnesota.
Hey, how long did it take you to graduate?
Me too.
Oh,
all of us did.
Alum. Mm-hmm. It took me 3 years to graduate.
Awesome. Dang, girl, that is 13 years less than me.
So this is like common interview question for all of our guests. And answer. Okay. All right.
That's but there's a lot of years, psychology. Lush, that's amazing.
There's a lot of psychology in food. There, that is amazing.
Totally.
But yeah, so that's okay. And then did you work in that field at all, or come back to nutrition, or how did that look? And I suspect there's like number of other things you needed to do and certifications and I mean, I'm guessing there's just so much to know.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot to know about nutrition. And it's such an interesting field because there's so much new information coming out. There's a lot of hot debate about what is right, what research you should trust, what you shouldn't. So there's always, you know, differences in opinions there. So I got my degree in psychology and I graduated and I was like, okay, it's the last paper I'm ever going to write. Never going to do it again.
Yep.
And then, and then I got a food service job and I worked in a alternative health clinic for a year or so and didn't really like any of that, had funny bosses and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So then I moved out of Minnesota, went to go work on an organic farm in Colorado.
What?
I was a little hippie kid for about 6 months.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've always dreamed of doing that.
Yeah. It was a really cool experience. Learned a lot about vegetables and learned a little bit more about people. Right. There were about 30 other interns on the farm over that summer.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah, a lot of close quarters.
Drama.
Drama. Farm drama.
Yeah, right. Even our organic farmers
have
drama.
I know what happens to the 4-H kids when they go to the state fair. Okay?
Okay.
It's like a freaking orgy up in there.
Okay. And we're not talking about the animals.
No, we're talking about the kids. They're like, wait, what? And then the ones that all do the musical, which everyone needs to see. But anyway, sad.
Oh my gosh.
I can only imagine organic farm orgies.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Yeah. Lot of dirt.
Lot of
dirt.
It's like the Renaissance fair mixed with, those people.
Oh, my friends.
The Renfest people. All I know. Like, doing it all the time.
Nice hand gesture. Jen's known for her hand gestures.
Where's our in-studio pic?
We can do it with emoji, because they make those emojis.
They do.
The point with the okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, put it together.
Oh, yes.
That's my favorite emoji combination.
I just learned that you can use a cactus for the middle finger.
But there is a middle finger one.
Now there is.
But yeah.
Prior before, to this last update. There is a middle finger now. Okay, see, back this is what happens.
Yeah. This is the JK part.
Okay.
JK.
So you moved out to Colorado.
Moved to Colorado, was out there, learned a lot about people and vegetables, loved being able to have my hands in the dirt, see kind of start to finish what all these different vegetables, the effort that it took to grow them, what it was like to run a farm. That farm was it was organic, but it was still a huge production farm. So it's 2,200 acres, which is absolutely huge for an organic farm.
Yes.
So just seeing that and how, you know, how they distributed and they worked with Whole Foods and, you know, they were doing a lot, moving a lot of food around. So that was cool to see. At the end of the day, though, I was still like, well, but I'm not sure about working for this boss, even though this boss is running an organic farm and it has these terms that are kind of cool. It still wasn't quite right. So I decided to come back to Minnesota and think of something where I could really think for myself and not just be a moving part for someone. And that actually brought me to getting my degree, my master's in social work, clinical mental health, because I wanted to really use that psychology degree because I think people are fascinating. And I came away from the farm being like, well, I learned stuff about vegetables, but I learned more about people. And what is that?
It's so true of so many workplaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't think a lot of people take that directive a path to figure out thinking on their own and doing their own thing, right? Like it takes a lot of people many, many, many jobs because you do have it sort of out there. Like, I'm going to find the right combination of industry and people at some point. And sometimes you don't, or sometimes you have that sweet spot and then the next one that doesn't happen in.
Right.
So,
okay. Yeah. So along with that degree in social work, I really wanted to, and kind of at that point, I was really into nutrition. I had my food blog, but it was all about the recipes. Mm-hmm. And it was just about, you know, eat this recipe. It's tasty enough and there's butter in it. And guess what? Butter isn't bad, but I can't really tell you much more than that because I don't really have the place to tell you more about that. So then I looked into getting a certification. So I'm a certified nutritional therapy practitioner. And that was a separate course. It was about a year of coursework. And that focus was absolutely amazing. I loved going through that program. And I'm sure, you know, this is part of what we talked about in the Central U classes, one-on-one consults. I really focus on the foundations of health. So what does someone's hydration status look like? What's up with their digestion?
Good. More water.
We've got a lot of water here. Yeah. Not too shabby.
I need like an IV. This is what I always joke about that. Like with drink, you know, sometimes I think like, alcohol drinking is too hard. It's like too hard to just like pick something up and put it to your lips. Like, wouldn't it be amazing if we all just had like,
here we go,
ports, and you just like plug in. If you're like, I'd like a gin and tonic. Ding. And then you're like, woo, I have a little buzz. And then you're like, I'm going to flip over to the water. Ding. Yeah.
Oh,
and then you can
I think you're describing heroin.
And then you can, and then you could just go about your day. You're like, you know, you just like, yeah, I'm just gonna, everybody has one, you know? And like, then you don't actually have to be like, oh, I have to put this into my stomach.
Have you seen the movie WALL-E?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so lazy.
Right, and they all become like bean shaped.
Yeah. Yep.
And they like slide out of the chairs instead of having to use their muscles to get up.
I can't do anything. Yeah. I mean, guys. Listen,
Coleman wanted to watch it last night.
Of big ideas for this world. Okay?
You are. You really are.
And then anytime you need anything, you just plug it right in.
I sense a Kickstarter.
I think so too. Mm-hmm.
I sense a Kickstarter coming on.
Okay, so hydration. Back to you, Lush.
Oh, yeah. So foundations of health. So, I mean, throughout all of the journey of, sure, getting these different, kind of looking at school and looking at jobs, during all of that, a big reason that I was interested in health and nutrition, yes, I love food. I love tasty food. But I was also just not feeling good. So when I was in my undergrad, I started having panic attacks. I had a lot of anxiety, foggy headed, couldn't think straight, was in my last year of school and couldn't do my homework. And I was like, what's going on? I eat
so
food
hard.
That's, you know,
right.
It's okay.
That you know to be healthy.
Sure. Yeah. So
right.
It's like,
or
I gotta,
assumed to be. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like, this stuff isn't, it's coming, it's fresh enough. So what's going on?
Right.
So it was a lot of kind of just my own detective work, being like, why doesn't this work in my body? And why, when I go to doctors, do they just pat me on the back and say, well, you look young and you look healthy, so you're fine.
Oh, God, I hate that so much. Well, and they have these, like, certain indicators. And they never talk about nutrition.
Never.
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 Like, I was dying for someone to talk to me about nutrition from, like, age, like, 8, 9 on. Mm-hmm. I was dying for someone to tell me about my body and why it wasn't working properly. Like, and no one ever did. And there was, like, it's sort of like, you know, you think of your parents and, like, I just went through something with my mom where she went through a little bit of a health crisis. And I think about, like, how they think about doctors versus how we do. Like, yeah, that sort of idea that they're always right, that they're all good at their jobs. You know, that stuff that we question, mm-hmm, you know, because they're not. They're just like anyone else. Some people are bad at their jobs. Some people are more empathetic and or less, you know, and you need to sort of adjust your stuff for that. Yeah. But I felt like I wanted to be obedient at the doctor. And I wasn't, like, ever challenging. Of course, I mean, when you're 8 or 9, too. I mean, I had these thoughts, but I was dying for a doctor to talk to me about nutrition. And I had to wait till I was, like, you know, in my, I don't even know, after I had one baby, but college for the milk stuff. And then after I had babies for the rest.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, where I was like, hey.
Right.
I'm going to have to find. And then we have the internet. Like, when I was in high school, even the internet was just becoming a thing. Mm. Like, I remember my French teacher talking about it in Europe. Like, she had a European husband and they were talking about, like, the first, like, video phone calls. And that was, like, sort of the beginning of the internet. Mm. So now we have all these resources at our fingertips, too, where before, like, when we needed to know about something about our health.
We had to go to the library and check a book out
from the card catalog. Or we had to go to see a specialist.
And now you can just buy all those card catalogs at cool vintage thrift stores.
Totally. They're all available. All of them in the whole world.
I don't know. Like, so, nutrition, too. And you think about, like, growing up, you learned about, like, the food pyramid, which is, like, kind of a crazy concept to think about because now as an adult and, like, understanding more about how the world works, you're like, wait a second. The food pyramid is the food pyramid because of the lobbying groups and the money that's
being
put. The
food pyramid was bought
into the government. Yes. And but, like, that is what we were taught in school. Like, it was, like, you know, grains and cereal.
Bad.
Yes. And, like, dairy and then vegetables and fruits.
Oh, my God. The dairy lobby. Like, we could have an entire show just about the dairy lobby.
And then I remember I read this book. I can't remember what it's called now. So this is a great segue. But it's, like, Skinny Bitch or something. I don't know. And I don't know. It's a terrible book. But the one thing I took away from it was,
I just,
like,
got rid of that book.
Yeah.
Kyle's like, maybe you shouldn't put that in the little free library.
Right, right. Because it says Skinny Bitch. But they had some interesting points about milk in there that I remember I took away from it. Sure. It was like this. Milk is for babies, you know, like
baby cows.
Yeah. Well, like, if you think about every animal on this earth, every mammal that, you know, feeds their babies milk, they stop feeding them milk once they get past being a baby. You know, it's milk is meant to put on weight and to, like, do that and help your baby grow and the nutrients in it. And then I was like, yeah.
I mean, they were very beginning basic thoughts about questioning milk.
Yeah.
Right. No, yeah, I remember that.
But, like, and then it's like, you maybe don't need to drink milk after that because, like, you can get the nutrients and the everything from other places. And, like, as we know, I have issues with milk just in general. But, like, plus anything that comes out of an udder, I'm like, no.
You have issues with the psychological and the nutritional sides of milk.
And then they talk about, you know, humans, and we're the only ones who, like, keep drinking milk, like, throughout our entire lives. And I was like, wow, that is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, and we're choosing to drink milk from a different animal.
Yeah.
Too.
That. And then you think about, like, the mass production of milk and, like, the hormones, you know, that were probably in milk that when we were growing up and we didn't know because they didn't have to label it. And, like, how that affects everything. Like, I got my period in fifth grade. Like, I don't think that's super common. It was the summer before fifth grade started. Mm-hmm. And, like, how early that is and, like, development and, like, you know, does that have to do with the hormones that you've, you know, ingested
through the direct correlation? Right. We know that now.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just super interesting to me. So,
Yeah, the milk lobby is I could talk about milk lobby forever and how, you know, it's like how it got even like its pathway into our schools could be an hour long conversation.
Oh,
like why is that the choice? Why is that the choice?
Yes.
Like it's just so fucked up and we accept it as completely normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like milk is healthy and milk is great. And it's like we have all these kids drinking milk that like after lunch, why can't kids learn in the afternoon?
Mm.
Because their stomachs are full of stuff they can't digest.
Right.
So all that blood, brain power, energy goes there.
Their like bodies, they're trying to manage with just kind of the salt that has possibly come in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you think about that and you think about, okay, were there any vegetables
no.
in that meal? Were there any raw vegetables?
To sort of balance it out.
Sure.
Yeah. Or oh, my God. All through school, this is what I ate for lunch. Like mint soft serve ice cream. Like, because we had, like, a snack bar thing, like a chocolate milk, sometimes two. Oof. Like, some cookies, probably. Like, I never ate, like, a lunch.
I had, like, a bagel with cream cheese.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was, like,
pizza.
I
rolls.
Would always buy such shit.
Remember pizza rolls?
Such, yeah. Oh, right. Yes.
Remember those, like, brown green beans?
Yeah.
Like,
or just,
we
like,
were, like, more like brown beans.
I did, like, turkey day, though, when it was, like, mashed potatoes. Like, the fake mashed potatoes
yeah.
with, like, gross turkey and, like, the gravy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, but like the school foods are terrible.
Well, and it's interesting too, because that, you know, if that's the daily for a kid and they're getting at least one meal, maybe
right.
more from the school and that's their norm.
That's it.
What you guys experienced in our group class too, where your taste buds change over,
yep.
your taste buds get used to what you're putting in.
Yep. Yes.
So if that's your stimulus day in, day out, you're going to start to crave that even more.
Shitty food,
yep.
right.
And then the same thing can happen with less shitty food or more kind of natural, unprocessed food.
Yeah.
Your taste buds, they change.
I experienced that. And it's, I think, even from like a sugar perspective, like a sweets perspective, it'll be like, yeah, that cake looks awesome and I'm going to have a bite of it and then I'm good with it. And it's not because I'm thinking, you can't eat that. It's more like...
It's not about punishment.
No, mm-hmm. it's more about like, ah, okay, I'm satisfied now. Like that, I don't need to eat this whole thing because it's too much.
Right.
Yeah. And so, also, as Lauren so eloquently pulled
butts.
It out, sugar butt.
Sugar butt.
We'll have to link to Lauren's blog. Don't forget about... Yeah, let's link to Lauren's blog about sugar butt because mm-hmm. you do... I can't remember the first thing I ate after the plan when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it was...
You shit your brains out.
It was so bad. It was so bad. Like, I just got backlit tears thinking about it. Like, it was just like, it's fine. Like, I'm balanced now. I'm doing great. Like, I can... And it's like, it's a really quick snap back to that overindulge and or just eating what you used to eat and then realizing that your body is so much different that it's not going to be able to handle it. I think we all have to go through sugar butt.
I think there is no greater feeling in this world than shitting. I'm sorry.
Oh, please.
It's like,
yeah.
right.
Your
it's
face
like,
right then, you were like, oh, girl.
I mean, I'll go to a meeting at 10 and if I haven't, like, it's like all I can think about
because
I poop in the morning. Like that's one
Me
of the
too.
First things I do. I have coffee. I have one cup of coffee and I poop and then I like have breakfast a
you
little
know,
bit
go
later.
Go on with your day.
And I go on with my day. Like that's the way I start my day. And so it's like it does feel off. And then if you don't, and it's like distracting if you don't, and it should be.
Yeah.
It should be distracting.
Right. That's a healthy sign.
Right. You're like, okay, that's really important. Check that off. Get on with the rest, which is like, it's like eating a good meal or anything else you would do. Exercise. It should be like that. Oh my gosh. No, you're so right. And I think it's so great that we can talk about it more freely than we ever have.
Oh my God.
Oh yes.
And I love like when I came in I came in before I did the Essential You program, I did a few sessions with you. Mm-hmm. Of what would you say, nutritional therapy or one-on-one?
Yep. Yeah, one-on-one sessions, yeah.
And so the first thing I noticed was like, you didn't make me take anything away.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like everyone's so nervous about that being the thing. Like, okay, they get like ready. Like everybody does like the last night meal before Essential
oh
U.
Yep, they do.
And like they were just like... Right?
Hot dogs and all the bad stuff.
Yes.
Fun dip.
I think I had dip for dinner the night before, which is like three or four kinds of cheese.
Mm.
And that's it, really.
Melted.
The dip I usually make when we have dip for dinner is like buffalo chicken dip. So it's got like Frank's Red Hot, cheese, cheese, cheese.
Which is plan approved.
It is.
Yep.
Frank's Red Hot and limes.
Yep.
So I can make dip out of Frank's Red Hot and unlimited limes. Mm. We had an ongoing joke in our small group that we could be like, oh, limes are good. Go ahead with the limes.
As many as you want.
Unlimited limes. Like Vanna White is presenting you with like a van load of... Oh, get it, Vanna? Van load? It was on accident.
Down.
It was terrible. But yeah, so I feel like the first thing people think is like, it's going to be deprivation. And you added things which were, you know, not food, but, well, you did add veggies. You was like, you said, eat as many as you want. And also add these supplements that will set us up for digesting well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the first, you know, meeting wasn't even about taking something away. And I think that was such a big, it was a bolster to starting something like that, to have the first week or two just be like, okay, see what happens. Like notice, like start noticing things. Mm-hmm. I remember using that word in particular. Just start notice how this makes you feel, or notice how your digestion changes, like taking that supplement. And the tongue, what is it called when you do it? Oral?
It's neural, it's LNT is what we call it LNT, in the practice. Yeah, so it's lingual neural testing.
Lingual neural. Yes. So they put something even on the middle of your tongue and how your body reacts to that. That's like a tiny short description. So maybe you could give us a better one.
Yeah, so lingual neural testing is where, and you can use... In my practice, we're really using supplements, but you can really lingual neural test anything. What's happening is that you get the taste of a nutrient or a food or anything, what have you. You get the taste of that, and you're not going to swallow. You're not going to swallow the capsule or anything. You're opening up a supplement. You're tasting that for about 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my practice, what we do is that we've kind of looked at a baseline using different acupressure points, some different things that we've done to check in with your body, and that lingual neural testing, we can see if it changes some of those acupressure points. We're getting tenderness ratings. So we're looking at, okay, what is your small intestine's reaction to the taste alone of this nutrient?
Yeah.
And it seems, you know, I kind of preface it for some people. I'm like, this might seem a little bit woo-woo, but just go with it.
I love your use of woo-woo, by the way. I love it.
So when people just kind of go along with it, it's really amazing. So we have these different points. And for a lot of people, we're starting with digestive points. So if you can kind of imagine, there might be some different palpations kind of near the belly button, along the rib cage. A lot of those are what we start out with. So those points, it's surprising, before we even add in any type of supplement, a lot of those points can be really tender. So
and just like noticing that about your own body, even if you didn't do the second step.
Exactly.
Right, you're like, wow, I don't know why that's tender. Or or even thinking about, you know, what would make something tender.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. It was amazing, like lying there. As someone who I am completely woo-woo.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if I am on, there's a scale of 1 to 10 and 10 is the most woo-woo, I'm a 12. Like,
sure.
I'm like... I believe in the universe. I believe in so many metaphysical things, right? Like, I really have to work to preface like the stuff I talk about to people sometimes, that so it won't come off as like offending them, not offending them, but like putting them off.
Sure.
Because I do believe so much in our gut has more nerve endings than our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And like that article said, that was so great that article came out.
Yeah.
And it was like this wide audience of like an NPR audience. It said, can't have a healthy brain without a healthy gut. Like, that was the headline.
That's huge.
It was so big. Huge. I thought of you immediately. Like, I was clapping my hands and I was like, I can't. I'm sure she's seen it. It's like one of those things.
Yep.
Like when there's news about David Bowie and like you tell your like, you know, like Jake Rude, the DJ.
Right.
Like, you're like, oh, I'm going to be the first one to tell him this. Right. Like,
or like roll your eyes. And you send it to Manticure.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. So... That the fact that you didn't take anything away, and the fact that you were just sort of like making this kind of equation for people was, or for me in particular, was just like huge.
Well, and as you know, Lush, we've talked about this, but like I had gone to see a nutritionist once before in my life, and it was like the weirdest experience I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
It was like through a hospital system.
Right. So they have to teach like.
Yeah. And I went to this like, it was a class like, and it was, there was some one-on-one and there was some group stuff. And I remember them asking me if I craved salty or sweet foods, because there was going to be a correlation between that and like the kind of like what my mother's breast milk was like when I was a baby. And I was like, what? This is makes me feel weird.
And then you backed out of the door.
Yeah.
And then you were part of a cult for 7 years.
Yeah. And then I never ever went back. And it was like through one of the Minneapolis-St. Paul hospital systems. Like it wasn't like, you know, some woo-woo joint or whatever.
I actually had an experience with a nutritionist through the Emily program that I did for 18 months to like sort out some disordered eating stuff I had. And they're mandated under like some rules that like, I don't even know. Maybe I'm wrong here, but the feeling I got was that they had some sort of thing they needed to follow that followed the food pyramid structure.
Because they get government funding.
They file for insurance or government funding of some sort. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. So, I don't know. I just made that up.
Yeah. No, I think that's accurate. Check your facts. I think our instincts about those things are right more often than we think they are. And I had that, like, she was just like, grains.
Oh, are you serious?
And I was like, ouch. I felt, tummy. And like, for someone like me who, you know, it turns out I can't eat, I mean, there's like maybe one or two out of like 1,000 that I can eat comfortably. But, you know, I really had a great experience otherwise there. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a really holistic approach that was great for me and my mind. And like, it was the first time anyone had ever told me about not eating disorders, but disordered eating.
Sure.
Flip those words around, because I didn't fall under either of the categories that we know to be eating disorders, right? So then there was this program that I trusted. Then I'm seeing the nutritionist, and she's telling me these things that you think you can trust, right? So that was my first experience with God bless you, Louie,
and the nutritionist. My little nugget baby.
Yeah. So, do you want to talk a little bit about, I mean, Jen and I know because we've been through it now, but the kind of elements of the Essential You program, which is a program that you've developed for your business that people can take a course, a short course, like four 5 weeks at right now through the Sokana
Wellness
CrossFit gym or Sokana Wellness, but they can also come from the outside and take it as well.
Sure. Yep. Anyone.
So tell us about the elements of that, and then tell our listeners about it at least. And then I want to give you more kudos after you're done talking about it.
Okay. Yeah. So the Essential You, it's a 5 week program. We meet for five sessions. What it is that I'm really breaking down kind of those foundations of health and nutrition that I briefly mentioned before. So each week we kind of look at, you know, if we have 1 week where we're going to look and learn all about blood sugar regulation. So what the heck is going on when we're eating sugar? Everyone, for the most part, to some degree, knows that we make sugar. Sugar is a bad thing. Quote, I'm using air quotes here. Sugar is bad. We shouldn't be, don't like the word should, but we shouldn't be eating sugar. But we don't really know why. We don't know what's happening once we actually ingest that sugar, what's going to happen.
Right.
So that's so 1 week of the program.
Yeah, you do talk about like the process of how your body breaks down food.
And how much of the sugar is hidden.
Right.
So these people think like, well, I'm not someone who eats a Snickers. But like they start their day with a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Or low fat yogurt.
Pasta sauce.
There's sugar in everything if you look at the ingredients.
There's sugar in hummus.
Yeah. Right.
You know, in these foods that are labeled
there's
as
sugar and fun dip.
Savory, right.
I really like fun dip.
It is fun.
It's probably better for you than pasta sauce with sugar.
Yeah. 45 calories.
So you start, that's the first week,
right?
Like learning like how to stop these spikes,
right?
Which really can help to curb our kind of like high and low eating.
Right. So we really work on balancing the blood sugar. So in addition to what we're learning each week about blood sugar, digestion, minerals, all that good stuff, we're also, because we're in a group, we're going through a dietary challenge together.
Yes.
So we're doing something that's a little bit more intensive than what I do with clients during one-on-one sessions. So with those sessions, we really do a slow build of adding in foods, maybe experimenting, taking some out, but it isn't all or nothing. So in this, we have the dietary challenge, and it is a little bit more intensive. So we take out kind of those hard hitters that are seem to be way more burdensome on most people's body to digest. So when I say that, I mean things like gluten, most grains, refined sugars, most fruit, which is a tricky one for a lot of people to sign up for, to take out, to really be aware of what sugars are coming in and what's happening in the body. We also take out some common allergens like corn, soy, peanuts, just so we can really establish what's my personal body, dairy too, So what's my baseline? What's my body like without all these kind of funny things coming in and changing the show? So what happens when I take all those out? So I love, I'm always telling people, like, we're just going to put on our dietary detective caps. We just, we want to be little scientists. We're just doing little experiments on ourselves to see, okay, what happens? Yeah. And we don't need to assign whether something's good or bad. You know, I talk a lot about it in the class about how there's no good or bad food.
And I love that you do that because I think people who've had struggles with eating or weight or diet or nutrition or any of those things, like, and especially as women, we demonize food. We make, you know, like, oh, I can't have that. And it's like we shame ourselves over food. And like, I've never felt that. If there's one thing I learned from you, well, I've learned a lot of things from you, but also food is what you need to eat. You need to eat food to nourish your body. It's medicine, and also it's fuel, and, you know, in the gym and in life and for your brain. And like, that is a huge shift that I've learned from you.
Yeah. And I think like
opposite of what you read in freaking Cosmopolitan.
Right. It's like a diet versus a dietary change for sure.
Right. Yeah. I always say that, like, I'm the person who I do know a lot about nutrition. I did previously. I was often someone who people would come to, but I, like, until I met you, like, I mean, I realized that I didn't know much at all. Because it was out of order. Mm-hmm. Like, the things I was doing were out of order, or I sort of didn't know. I had those like predetermined things that were telling me like, that's bad, this is good. And it's like, you can really have anything you want as long as you know your body, notice what makes you feel good or bad, and also start with a clean baseline.
Right.
So,
and also only eat things like organic air. That's like my favorite.
Only water bottles. You know?
Yeah. That's only like the best diet ever.
Me doing Jen doing, Jen. I don't even know who. Me doing Jen doing Jen.
Oh, yeah.
And I use your tips so much that, like, and they're not even tips. Like, I use your knowledge that you have transferred to me so much that I'm to the point where I don't even know, like, what's yours and what's mine. Which is,
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Good. I'm glad. I feel like as often as I can, I give you credit. But there is stuff now where I'm just like, well, that's like that I know that to make me feel this way, or things that we've started with that it was like one in particular was like, if I do have a I can binge on sugar, and it will, like, to
girl,
the point
who
of
can't?
Sick.
I mean, hello, fun dip,
right?
Sugar,
fun dip, right? Yeah. And circus peanuts and whatever. But I only mention circus peanuts because they're like one of my trigger foods.
I love them.
So
we're the only two people in the world that like them.
Just I know.
I'm just gonna hop on that. Yeah, okay. Circus peanut.
Everyone in the world that likes them is in this room.
We're here. Nobody else likes circus peanuts.
I know. Like, and do you check them to make sure they're soft squishy, before you buy them?
Yeah.
Like, I go to the back and I'm like, okay, soft, not soft, softer, softest.
Yoink.
Yep, these are made from baby duck feathers. That's the ones I want. Like, I want like the no.
Oh, I was like,
your
face. They're full of protein,
right? So
I was like, I thought they were fake.
They probably are
candy.
Made from gelatin, though, like horse hooves and
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, but the thing that like you said too that helped me so much was like, you know what? Even if you do have a day where you completely fuck it up, you know, under your new standards. Mm-hmm. Not like bad, good, but under your new standards and what you know works for your body individually.
You can always start over.
Right. Like, so you can, and also there are things you can do to immediately reverse what you just did. Like, if you overeat sugar, eat some kimchi.
Yeah.
Eat some sauerkraut. And like, I have done that now. Like, I have put that, I mean, it, as weird as it is to eat a bag of circus peanuts followed by half a bag of sauerkraut. Like, I do that now occasionally when I have, like, taken too many or eaten too many. Like, I will just, like, make a sausage and have a huge pile of kraut with it. And it's not like I'm waiting till the next day to start over.
Right, right.
Like, you're just, like,
so don't. That, because that counteracts
something,
sugar in your gut.
Yeah, something like sauerkraut or kimchi, those are fermented vegetables. Right. So they've been naturally kind of preserved by good bacteria. So if you're getting in something, you know, a food that you know doesn't work so well in your system, like a lot of processed sugar, that can kind of throw off the your gut's biome. So kind of the good bacteria, good yeast, you know, maybe not so good bacteria, not so good yeast. But by making sure that you're including things that can really quickly bring in those good bacteria, you can bring balance more quickly.
And I learned that from choices. You in one of our one-on-one sessions. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't in the
I just
group,
learned that right now. I mean, no, I knew that, but I didn't know, like, eating, yeah, like, counter. It's like a yin and a yang.
Yeah, it
right.
is.
So
yeah.
you can immediately take charge back, which something over the last couple of years, or actually last couple of months. Oh, Louis eating his tail. It's amusing us all. He's hungry too. Louis hungry too. So I've really become so much more embodied, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm inside my body for the first time in a long time after like having kids, being overweight, using food to cope with a bad relationship, and so on. And so I feel like being able to take charge, because there's something that triggered me to eat more, whether it was recalling a previous way I used to abuse food, whether it was like an emotion that took over, and being able to like totally take charge with my knowledge and say, I know what to do in this moment, rather than having like that self-loathing, because oftentimes it'll happen in the afternoon and then it's just a domino effect. I'll be like, it doesn't matter now what I eat for the rest of the fucking day.
I'm going to Dairy Queen.
I'm going to Taco Bell.
I am a queen. Taco Bell.
Right. Like, and so this way, right, I'm just like, I'm starting over in that moment instead of like the next day where it's like 10 hours of time, 12 hours of time, like for someone who's inside her brain all day, that can have a profound effect.
Sure.
But now I know that I can take it. Take control.
Take it back.
I can take back the night.
Yes. Well, and I love hearing that too, because that's, you know, what I want to do is help people take the fear out of food. So yeah, there isn't a good or a bad food. It's all about choices, but also it's about having that control. You know, I think a lot of people fall into the guilt trip and beating yourself up because that's a form of control. That's a form of kind of formulating what just happened. So instead of having that be the control, it's now shifted. And that shift can be scary and it's hard. But once you start to shift over to that other area of, no, I am in control in the moment. And that control doesn't have to come from a negative place. It can come from a positive place. That's all I want to see.
That's huge. Yeah. I mean, I think that it can also, like, I think we are both silent so much in that moment because there's more to learn in that moment than just about food, right? Because I've seen like so many of my friends say like, I don't know why I keep doing that, food related or not, right? Like they don't know why they keep doing like some sort of behavior. Yep. And it is that we can control with negative as well as like what we think to be positive behaviors. Mm-hmm. That's huge to hear. And
I
love you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. God. But like, truly, we have been taught as a society and as women that like less is more, right? So like don't eat, like hungry is like a positive thing, or like, you know, because skinny and thin and like all of these things. So it's like you associate, you're like, I didn't.
Moment on the lips, lifetime on the hips.
Right.
Like all my friends' mom had that magnet. Every one of
nothing
my friends'
tastes
moms.
As good as skinny feels.
My mom wasn't that. I didn't know about people being big or small until college.
Yeah.
My mom nailed it. She nailed it. I don't know how she did it. She just did.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, I growing up, I mean, hear. My mother, like I can remember being like, even in adult life, like if I was with my parents, you know, back in Milwaukee, and like I'm at their mercy because I flew in or whatever, and I'm driving around the car and I'm like starving. And I'm like, we need to stop for some food. Like I need to eat something. And my dad or mom would be like, why do you need to eat something now? You can just wait until. And it's like, listen, that is not a bad thing. Like I need, if I need to eat, like I need to eat because I can feel my blood sugar crashing or whatever. And it's like it was trained and ingrained in you. Like you only eat when you're, you know, breakfast, lunch or dinner.
Oh
and
my
like
gosh,
you only eat and you shouldn't be. And like what we're doing right now, Lucia, me and you, is like I am trying to counteract that by eating even more food than I would normally eat on a regular basis because my body has constantly been in this like starvation mode, basically. Right. Like don't eat enough food.
Right.
So you can't lose like it. Like I am wanting to lower my body fat and increase my lean mass. And so like in order to do that, I need to get my body regulated to a place where it's like, okay, I'm going to get the food I need. Like I can chill out a little bit.
Yeah. We really want to make sure that your metabolism isn't trying, you know, if someone's in a chronic kind of dieting or under eating phase, chronically meaning weeks on months on years, everyone's metabolism is smart. Their metabolism is going to match how much food, you know, what they're getting in is what the metabolism is going to continue to do. So if you're getting in less food, your metabolism is going to say, well, okay, I'll get used to that because that's my norm. So exactly. When if someone tries to diet on top of kind of chronic under eating,
it's never going to work.
Right. Your metabolism can only do so much at that point. So exactly what you and I are doing, Jen, we're having you increase, kind of get your metabolism to be really comfortable, really relaxed, show it, hey, here's all this good food. Here's good protein, carbohydrate, and fat.
You can
ramp yourself up. Once we get your metabolism up to that point, really cool things can happen from there.
Well, and it's crazy, like how my body has reacted to that. I definitely have not eaten enough food today yet, just so we all know that. That's the hard thing about weekends. If you sleep in the morning, you're kind of out like 3 hours.
Oh,
of
I have like a
time.
Patented thing about like around traveling.
Yeah.
I only eat 2 meals a day.
Right.
Because I eat at like 10 or 11 and then I eat dinner.
Right. It's like eating Saturdays and Sundays is really hard because I sleep a little more.
Well,
right?
I will, I'll make sure that you get plenty
dinner.
Of dinner tonight.
Hey, girl.
Maybe snacks.
Yes, but like.
Yeah, my friend Dana's therapist says you can't out-train a bad diet. Like her what do you call it? Trainer.
Yeah.
Like personal trainer who's like, does a lot of CrossFit things.
You can change your body, but food is the biggest catalyst.
You can't out-train a bad diet. Like if you start out with that foundation being wrong, you can't do enough cardio.
Right. And you can have the quality be really appropriate in the food. So you can be eating minimally processed foods. You can be really choosy about organic or any of that stuff. But after a certain point, quantity still comes into play.
And I will say that, like, I've noticed because I'm just finishing the second week of that. Like, I am awake in the morning. I don't get, like, super tired in the afternoon. Like everything is very regulated, like digestion, and also like I don't feel that like blood sugar spike. Literally I'm eating from the moment I wake up until the moment I go to bed. Like truthfully I'll be like, ooh, but it's like vegetables and fruits and like, you know, healthy fats.
I saw
and,
your list.
Yeah,
you see that was it's insane. Beautiful. And yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. I was just like, wow. Yeah, I mean, when I saw it, it was just incredible. I was thinking how much you had to do to get that together, and my gosh.
That's why I eat the same. Try to eat the same thing every day because I'm like, okay, I know this fits. Like, which reminds me, I have to go to the grocery store today.
I do too.
And buy so much food. Yeah.
I just love your emphasis on not worrying about being perfect, and using like these counter methods to really figure it out. But the program is everyone should do it. I talk about it enough to like ensure that you're busy probably for the next 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah.
Like I just cannot believe how like every time someone and people have been noticing too, because I've had a good deal of weight loss. So I think that's even if I get people there based on my weight loss, I'm okay with that because I don't want that to be the emphasis. Right. But it's like I am a lot healthier.
But that's that's a direct result though. It's like maybe it wasn't what you intended for.
Right.
But it was just like a thing that happened as a byproduct because of the healthy
Right.
Well, and like the gut maintenance and like the making sure my gut was balanced. I'm like, you can just see that in my, even if I didn't lose weight other places, mm-hmm. like my stomach isn't out to here anymore.
Right.
Because it's not like trying to process foods I shouldn't be eating.
Right. Right.
It's
yeah.
crazy like how big that was and how much like I bought, started buying clothes to accommodate it, you know, and like right. little kids asking about me being pregnant and stuff. And it's like that happens sometimes when yeah. you're just overweight. But mm-hmm. that was like the. That's where most of that was.
Yeah.
Like most of that was from just like, and I would know every time I would eat something that was off, like you just get used to doing it and right. you don't know what's wrong.
Sure.
So, and now it's like this like googly soft and I love it. Yeah. Like I'm embracing it because at least it's not that puffy, swollen. Distended, yeah, sure. you know, like uncomfortable.
Right.
I don't even know what anymore.
Yeah.
So what, besides your own, which we'll mention and make sure people can link to, what are your favorite food blogs or cookbooks?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Favorite food blog currently? Oh, man. There's so many good ones. I mean, yeah. we're in a really cool age and time right now.
I know. So just pop whatever pops in or maybe like what you use
today. Or even
today.
Your podcast, too. I know you just referenced some like really good food podcasts that you've been listening to as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best. People love consuming my podcast right now.
Well, I would say a really great website for people to start off with is balancedbites.com. Diane Sanfilippo. She's an amazing powerhouse. She really started off, you know, in the paleo primal world. So she's if people kind of tune into those keywords, mm-hmm. you find a lot of her resources. She has a great book called Practical Paleo, and that's an amazing book because the first 60 pages really are just talking about why you're choosing foods that are less processed and what's going on and what is blood great. Sugar regulation. So it's a resource.
I love that.
In addition to recipes.
Yeah.
Another website is Against All Grain. And that's by Danielle Walker.
That's amazing. That sounds
yeah. like... I've been there quite a few times.
Yeah. And that yeah. one's really fun for recipes where you want to do more baking or you want to have kind of those foods that are more fun. So you're mm-hmm. not just making, okay, here's my meat. Here's my vegetable. Here's yep. me eating foods that are less processed.
White
so cool.
rice.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God. I have a nightmare story about white rice.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because it is one of the approved grains on the Essential U program because we do have so many athletes it's in that program yeah. because yep. of it being paired with Sulcana CrossFit.
And it's like the most basic carb.
Right. Easy to, yeah, bare. Right. And yeah, it turns out it's a grass seed, just like wheat. And there's like a certain number of people who also have reactions to.
Wow.
I know. And I had like this monster week that we worked through together, mm-hmm. Not knowing because I really didn't eat a lot of rice before that. But if it was approved on the plan, it was like, okay, I'm going to eat it and add it in because it's a grain I can eat to pair with stuff when you don't get to eat even like, you know, anything, toast or.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like, it was nice to have like with eggs because it's got that. Yeah.
Right. That's like a staple for me.
Yeah.
Rice
right. Yeah. yeah. And there's this like tiny note at the bottom of some of my stuff that I've had previously that said it was it's a grass seed. Mm. Isn't that weird? But white rice. Yeah. It's so, isn't that weird? Like, and then you recalled that someone that was AIP also had that.
Yep.
You're like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, the yeah.
Because it's really, really super uncommon.
Danielle of Against All Grain. She has okay. photos of, you know, a few hours after she's eaten rice and she looks like she is 7 months pregnant. Yeah. You mean she has that immediate stomach yeah. distension and
wow.
bloating.
Yeah.
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 I've never even heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mine was, mine had to do with a flare in my nerve disorder. Mm. So my nerve disorder is like was so maintained at that point. And then I it was the only thing I had added, which the one of the main benefits of the program too is like when you add after you add something, you're like, oh, I know what it is because all you're eating is whole food.
Right.
So you're like, this didn't happen with that food before previously. So I added it and yeah, it was like that. I've added like probably, I don't know, 4-6 cups of white rice that week.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's got to be it.
Yeah.
So that's what caused me to look into that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And do you have any opinions about Detoxinista?
Oh.
Because she's, okay, because I've been sent there a lot.
Yeah.
And I've made a couple of her recipes. They've been uh-huh, fine, but uh-huh. I just wondered if you had heard anything about that. It seems to be really popular right now.
It does seem to be really popular. And what I maybe counsel people on or just have people be wary of or have their eyes be open to is if someone is telling you you should or shouldn't And I think maybe with her blog, there are some shoulds. And for me, I'm a fan of no shoulds.
You are. And it's so good. It's like really personal examination of what makes you feel good or bad. Even if there is like a plan in quotes.
Right.
Like being like, you know what? But I can't eat corn I'm doing AIP, but I eat almonds.
Right.
Because I know that almonds are fine for me.
Exactly.
Right now. Maybe they won't be in a couple months. And then listening to that too. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, thanks for sharing all this with us today.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Thank you both.
I feel like we need another hour with you.
I know.
So we'll schedule that. You can
talk to us about everything.
Really? I mean, right. I feel like that every time I see you, like we said earlier. So we want to make sure you can find Lucia after this episode. You can find her on Twitter at Essential Omnivo or on her blog at EssentialOmnivore.com. I'm going to say that again. EssentialOmnivore.com. And then she also has an amazing Instagram, which is Essential Omnivore.
I love and your Facebook page, Essential Omnivore.
You can find her everywhere. Yeah, through her site, she's got her site links to all wherever she is and Pinterest and everything
all that
else.
Social media.
And your recipe boards.
Woohoo.
Yeah, so
yeah,
good.
Those everything are so is good, so too. Good. And that morning when you're like, what do I eat? So thanks for joining us today. You're the best.
Yeah.
Thank you, too. This was the best.
The best of everything. Simply the best. Okay. This is Jen, and you can find me on the internet at jenshell.com or Twitter at jenshell.
And this is Kate, and you can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate. You can find this podcast on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes.
iTunes.
XOXO.
JK.